got there. Show 370. I'm the host of Fanzo Patrol. My name is Montego, Mr. Button all the way up to the top. With me is my co-host, Miss Tifflebot. What's going on with you this week, Tiff? As I'm a little intense.
Not much. We watched a lot of hours of media for this show.
Yeah.
This week.
Yeah, and as well as the Patreon, you know, that slides on into the week for.
That's what I'm saying. All the work for this week. And then I went to the movies for other reasons.
So. Oh, yeah. Oh, you went and saw some stuff,
a lot of times watching movies.
Oh, yeah. That's all right. That's all right. So, man, we got a good show, man. So, what are we doing this week? So we have some horror movie news that we'll talk about once we get into the show. You know, that you know they and this comes out soon, which surprised me, you know, because normally summertime movies or whatever.
Gotta wait,
right. But not this time. Also, man, we have a little Fast and the Furious news. We had other news stories to talk about, but we thought this one would be better. So if you're a Fast and Furious fan, which I know a lot of people are, even for the ridiculousness of, you know, what is Fast and Furious, they like that, you know, and they just let it go. And I had that attitude for a while, Tiff, and then, you know, set movies in, I was like, okay. It's a lot of suspense.
It's hard to maintain your love. It's like a really long-term relationship where the other person is starting to get a little bit on your nerves.
Yeah, because it's like, what?
You're like, well, I still kind of like you, but right. You're getting really ridiculous. And
you are on my
effing nerves. I hate the way you eat salad.
Right. Right. Woo. Yeah, so we actually have some news about that. I think it'll be a little interesting. Also, man, we do it in a one-shot, man. So it's been out for a little bit of time. If you're a fan of DC and things like that, then you probably have already checked out the Peacemaker. So we're doing a one-shot of John Cena's John Gunn Peacemaker.
James Gunn, John Cena. Peacemaker.
Yeah. And our final topic from the day, we had to go rummaging through the back lot, y'all, to go find something to do for the show this week, man. And we found one. What's the name of the movie, Tiff?
Don't Look Up.
Don't Look Up. Leonardo DiCaprio, which is not getting rave reviews for this movie. So, you know, y'all calm the hell down. We'll talk about it and we'll get into it on the show. Saying all that, you ready to go, Tiff?
Yeah.
Let's roll. Time to get it on, man. Before we do, let's hear a little social media.
Absolutely. For everything Fans of Patrol, go to fansofpatrol.com. Where you can email us at fans@fansofpatrol.com. And get to us on social media at Fans of Patrol on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We're on YouTube now with videos of us talking to each other and other things. Check out our Patreon and listen on your favorite listening platform.
And there we go. Nice and simple, pimple. So, man, here we go again. So Netflix delivers. It's always something coming from Netflix, and I was surprised at this one, Tifflebot. Just when you know, a studio or a story has had 17 billion renditions, you know, seems like three a decade. You know, I'm talking about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which
yes,
Netflix has said, voila, here's Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but it looks to be like a prequel, like they're doing now, you know, like they're kind of like, you know, acting, you know, bringing in some of the old and then bringing the new, which has been.
But I don't know. Everyone's got cell phones in this one.
So I think it's new, though. So I think it's like it. I think it's.
Well, so didn't happen before. It's happening now. No, because the lady goes back. It's not a prequel.
No, not a prequel, a sequel. I think it's a sequel, but it's not the same name. Yeah. It has the same name.
yes, it's a follow-up.
Yeah, which is a better explanation of a follow-up opposed to being a bona fide sequel, because now with these sequels, they're, you know, eliminating movies that were in between or, you know,
right,
doing
sure.
all kind of stuff. So I don't know, y'all. I've never been a huge, let me be honest, I've never been a fan of this this series. I've saw the original. And then I saw that one, you know, they did a bunch more, and it was one with Jessica Biel in it. And I saw that one, and it was just like, and then now here we are again, and I'm like, God damn, how many of these damn things, dude?
My here's the thing, whatever, right? At a certain point, if you have a franchise, you either have to find a way to make it way different than what you had. or you like are rewriting it, I guess. But like, you know, I prefer a kind of horror franchise that descends into like silliness a little bit. My problem with this is it looks exactly like the Halloween movies, like almost to like beat per beat.
Yeah.
He comes back and the lady wakes. She's like, I've been waiting 27 years. Right. I noticed this. That. And she puts a bunch of weapons in it. I was like, should somebody be sued?
Well, you know, they all stole from each other even back in the day. You know, everybody stole from Halloween originally, you know, and started doing hacker slasher films, you know, Friday the
13th. Right, but there's a difference between doing a film that has been influenced by another film and doing a film that is the exact same as another film.
Yeah. So it seems, I agree, to follow the same pattern. Yeah,
I was surprised that not for obviously she's old, right?
Right.
Jamie Lee Curtis is old.
Yeah.
But like some, it's just the way that she's acting.
The same kind of
even some of the cowboy-ish some of the like stuff. Things that she's saying. I'm almost like, did she say that?
Yeah. So it's that rough, gruff cowboy. Which also, you can't say Halloween did it first because they need to be sued. Because if you think about the last Terminator movie, Terminator Genesis, it was the same thing. You know, the mother was rough and gruff.
Wait, which one's
the Genesis? That's the one with the Latino woman where they really rebooted everything and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, I never saw it.
Yeah, well, it was the same exact thing. The mom from, you know, Sarah Connor, the original, she came back. She was rough and gruff and I'm going to handle this shit. It was the same kind of thing. So Halloween can sue no one. You go ahead and just Terminator sue them because it's the same
thing. And all I'm saying is, I guess I don't care about that part. I mean, I don't know. I did kind of like the part in the bus where he was killing everybody.
The part in the bus was a little interesting.
I was like, maybe I will watch this one if it's more like this. Or when he hit that guy in the head with a hammer. That was pretty good.
Maybe this should have been a Red Band trailer, too.
Yeah, the hammer hitting was a bit... I remember... Actually, I was going to tell you... I was like, I know exactly what I'm going to say about this trailer. I'm going to say I was bored. And right as I was thinking that, the guy gets hit in the head with a hammer. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, damn. Well, what stood out to me was the cell phones on the bus. And then, you know...
Yeah.
Then the gutting on the ceiling. And I was like, ooh, this is a bit much
really got
for a
him.
Trailer. Goodness gracious. God damn.
Well, I enjoy, like... If we're going to do this, let's just be as stupid as possible.
Well, it didn't look like they were trying to be stupid. It looked like they was being
well, that looks serious really stupid. It looked good. Does that make sense? Like, it didn't look unprofessionally done or anything like that, and it made sense.
Yeah.
It looked stupid in the way that, like, clearly one, just like in all slasher films, one man is not going to kill all the people on that bus.
Yeah.
It's unlikely, right? Even though he has a chainsaw.
Yeah, he do got a big chainsaw. And he got a big
leather
face.
I also, maybe it happens, but like, well, they're making commentary about how everyone has a cell phone, right?
Right.
I was really surprised if someone didn't pull out a gun.
Well, yeah, because especially in Texas.
Because you know what, really everybody has.
Especially in Texas. Come on, man.
Yeah.
So, nobody's armed. They're all like,
stuff like that, right?
You're like, no, they all like, clack, clack, let's go.
You know? Right. And if he killed them, I would probably think that was really funny. A great horror movie moment. Maybe it'll happen. Let's give it a chance, maybe. I don't know. I'm not super into it. What were you? How are you feeling about it?
I never cared about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I was just a little taken aback that they were literally doing it again. You know, and it's like,
yeah,
damn. I mean, because I don't know how much money these movies makes, you know, but it's always like, every time I see this one pop up, I'm always like, damn, really? You know, okay. You know, I guess it's a bunch of Leatherface fans out there. Ugh, I guess.
I do think that it's very, very beloved, but I also think that horror films are traditionally, like, can be made for less money
Have,
like, you know what I mean? So they get a bigger.
I got $50 on the camera. Let's go out there and make a few million dollars, you know, with my my 50 cents in the camera. You know?
And they also, like, if you have an established character, you're probably a little bit even more safe.
To a certain extent, because, you know, then they get to the point where they're just like with the Freddy Krueger's franchise and the Jason franchise, just putting out garbage. And, you know, if that's living for you, then so be it. But, you know, it just. Been a lot of bad horror movies, but here we go with this. And so this, I guess this was on Netflix, so you don't even have to go to the theater to pay for it. So
yeah.
I'm gonna see it.
Well,
so.
You have to pay for Netflix if you want it, but
yeah,
you have to leave your home.
I've been paying for Netflix so long, I forget you know, that it's a
bill. Yeah, I know. That's how they get you.
That's how they get you, right. And the billions roll in.
It would take me more of my money, monetary effort to get on here and cancel it than it would just let it keep going.
I canceled.
That's how Netflix gets you.
I canceled Hulu once. It was hilarious.
Because, right, what the fuck? Are you serious? I would give up Netflix first, for sure.
Right before you press the cancel button, they showed a video that was streaming that was all saying, like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. It's all these, like, stars, like, different shows.
Are you serious?
Like, don't do it. You know, all this stuff. Peter Griffin, you know, somebody in Star Wars. It was like, just boom, 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 boom. It was hilarious. I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, I fucking hate that. I hate that so bad. That makes me retract my statement and want to go fucking cancel Hulu right now.
You're not canceling Hulu, so that's not
I'm happening. Not, but I want to. That makes me sick.
It was funny. I liked it. I thought it was hilarious, you know, because, I mean, it was everything. Ugh. Yeah.
So, it's like when you fucking go to unsubscribe from a fucking newsletter and they're like, are you sure? I'm like, bitch, yes, you didn't even ask me to begin with.
Yeah, you got that right, man. I want out. Most of the time, it's like a hidden thing to get out. You know, you're like, shit, where I go now? You know, you bastards.
I know. You're like, are you sure? And at the very bottom, it's like, click this pixel to cancel your subscription to our newsletter.
They put unsubscribed in the smallest font possible to man. So anyway, man, what are we talking about? So that's it for Jason for Momoa. That. Hopefully we don't have to see that movie, but if we do, you know, whatever. That's the only way I'll watch it, if it's for the show, honestly. I'm not interested. But you are. You will watch this.
No, I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. Oh, so okay. So there's no commitment on either side of the table. I like that.
Mm-mm, no. Yeah.
All right, man. So, you know, we were going to talk about the new Halo trailer, but we kind of already talked about that already. So Tiffany came up with some news. What do you have here, Tiff?
So it is confirmed that Jason Momoa is going to be in the Fast and the Furious 10, F10.
Jason, woo! And
Space and Beyond.
Yeah!
Space and
Beyond. Momoa. That's how you got to say his name, Tiff.
Yeah.
Momoa. Shit. Wow. First of all, where do I start? One, they're doing a Fast and Furious 10. Now, we knew this because we had that Hollywood beef with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who's recently just admitted, after we did our story, admitted that he think he had a kind of a bad day and he went too far with the whole thing.
Like, well, woo! Really? Oh, so? Man. How come he didn't say anything? That's a way to walk it back.
Right. Yeah, Jesus. He said it wasn't one of his finest days, and, you know, he's...
For the love of fuck. Yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, you started...
I'm actually really mad. I can't believe that you didn't suggest that as something we talk about. Fuck this shit. I predict Fast and Furious 11. Here comes fucking The Rock.
Here comes The Rock. So... So that happened, and, you know, so all the while, this Jason Momoa character is, in my opinion, absolutely the replacement Rock character. Not that he's replacing the character, but just the superstar stand-in.
Yes, they need this person, yeah.
Yeah. Now,
no details, really.
Jason, you're Aquaman right now. You got an HBO show that's been doing pretty decent. You're getting a divorce, so that's unfortunate, you know. So maybe you just got a lot of time on your hands, you know, unless they're paying you a butt ton of money, which they're probably doing, because I hear most of the stars who come to that franchise be like, oh, yeah, the paychecks is there. I don't know why you would do this movie, you know. I mean, he would probably fit right in, though. Money. He would probably fit right in. Just, you know, he's probably be on a motorcycle looking like a big gruff biker, you know.
He's on a motorcycle. He's 100% on a motorcycle.
Yep. Yeah, 100.
He wrote the movie. It's over.
Right.
It's over. The motorcycle rides over a rainbow and explodes into glitter on the other side.
I'm Don's cousin's brother, sister's boyfriend, husband, and I've been here the whole time.
It's family.
Right.
Oh yeah. I'm also an extremely talented street racer. We just haven't been talking about it.
Unless they
haven't needed me on all the times that the entire fucking world was threatened for some reason. They've never needed me before, but here I am.
Just like Dom's brother. Goodness gracious. So
Dom's
brother. Maybe he'll do something, you know, interesting and be a pretty decent bad guy, because we have never seen him being a bad guy, you know, ever. Unless I mean, he was kind of a bad guy for 5 minutes in Game of Thrones when he was playing the Dothraki and, you know, all that shit was going on for 5 minutes.
I would say no, maybe. Yeah.
I mean, you didn't like him because he was like assaulting the woman on a regular basis on HBO. He's just like,
yeah. Is that, but I agree with you, but I think that it was not presented that way, was it? Mm-hmm. I think they were kind of.
No,
it was just, she even at the end wasn't she always like, I love him.
Yeah, well, it changed. You know, she took control of the relationship and stuff like that. But that was just the way
his. I never watched it.
This way his people roll. But I'm saying that's the closest thing to a bad guy that I've seen him in. You know, unless it's just some hidden gems out there that maybe some of you guys might know about. You know, some old
Jason Momoa
that when he was a bad guy. I remember he did Conan the Barbarian, and it was like awful, awful, awful. And then he didn't have a career after that for the longest time. And then his career picked back up with the Game of Thrones. And then even after Game of Thrones, he said nothing was going on with him. You know, then stuff started picking up. So I get the payday, Jason. I get it, man. But, you know, it's not going to be anything exciting. I mean, he was just in Dune. Isn't that interesting, you know?
Yeah. I thought, but he's done with that.
Oh, he doesn't have a character in the next movie? What happened to his character?
Didn't he die?
I don't remember anybody dying, you know, but.
I think he died.
He died? Oh, so he's through. Okay.
Spoilers.
So much for me paying attention, you know.
it was a little long.
it was long, Tiffle. But
I enjoyed it, but I get what I mean. I understand where we're coming from as a person who hates a long movie.
Yeah, and that's surprising for you, you know, to me.
Listen, I cannot explain this anymore. It is not a time restriction. It is a content restriction.
I got you.
Do not blow smoke up my ass.
Yeah.
If you have an hour and 30 minutes of content,
yeah.
Don't blow 40 fucking minutes of content up my ass. I want to go home. Unless I'm being thoroughly entertained, then I will stay as long as possible.
Boy.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not hard.
Yeah. Well, that's how I feel. You know, I don't care how long.
Yeah, it is. I think, honestly, I think everybody feels that way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I just have I have less of a tolerance for things that a lot of people like.
Yeah. Speaking of that, this has nothing to do with nothing. I was just reading an interview this morning with what's his name, Aramich, the guy who did what's his name? What's the name of that damn movie back in the day with the space saucers and Will Smith and stuff like Independence Day? He has that movie Moonfall out right now, and he made the comment that he made the comment that Star Wars and Marvel movies are like kind of making it hard to be a film maker because that's what people want to see. And I'm like, man, when I saw that, I said, damn, I never liked a damn movie he ever did. I didn't like Independence Day 1 or 2. I didn't like Eight-Legged Freaks. I haven't liked a damn thing that dude has done.
You don't
done.
Like Independence Day?
No. I'm that great.
Independence Day.
I'm that great big dissenter. I hated that damn movie. Everybody, I've mentioned that on the show before.
Well, everyone, I would like to take the opportunity to tell you that I would like to make Montego watch Moonfall next week.
Shit, no way, man. We can stay the hell away from that theater.
What's happening next week? I think we're watching Moonfall.
Oh, Jesus. Anyway, I don't even know why I brought it up, but it's just funny to me.
To punish yourself because now we're watching Moonfall. Okay, anyway.
So, man, back to Jason Momoa. So, I think that's really nothing left to talk about Jason Momoa. He's going to be in Fast and Furious.
Yeah, I mean, good. Congratulations, and also I'm sorry.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know what
else to say. That's all you can say. Congratulations and my condolences. You know, hopefully your career will survive. You know, although everybody else's career has been doing pretty good with that movie. You know,
has their career been doing good? What movies have these people been in besides Fast and the Furious? The only person who's done more movies than them are the people who left.
Well, yeah, I mean,
which I think sheds a little bit light on the motivation behind The Rock's descent from the films.
Yeah, what? Idris Elba was in one of them, right? It was just, wow.
Yes, yeah. He was in one of them.
Damn, how did they get him in there? But they did. And it was terrible.
I have no answers.
Woo! Helen Mirren, she just been hanging around in there.
fucking Charlize Theron, that always blows my mind.
Who?
Charlize Theron.
Oh, yeah, me too. Right, she don't got to do that.
She's had an Oscar.
Right. She don't have to do that, but she does it.
She's rich. She has an Oscar.
Yeah. Maybe she has fun with him.
Whatever.
Maybe
whatever, you know what?
The paydays is
I've never been in a movie. What the fuck do I know?
Yeah, what do I know? Right. That's a good form there. So, man, that's it for Jason Momoa. We're going to take a break. We're going to come out of this stuff, and we're going to come back, and we're going to one shot Peacemaker, man. So we'll be right back.
Peacemaker. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, man, we are back. It's time for the middle section of the show, man, which we trade off from week to week doing different things, just making sure that we give our fans and the fans a variety. If it's your first time listening to the Fans of Patrol, welcome, man. Thank you for coming in. Put your feet up. We love you. How about that? If you are a returning, person, then, you know what to do, homie. Have a seat, you know. Don't put your feet on my couch.
We're going to be more rude to you since you've been here longer.
Don't put your feet on my couch, man.
You get your own fucking beer out of the fridge.
Exactly. So, man. Oh, boy. So, this week we're doing Peacemaker, man. WB. Now, this is a...
WB?
Not WB. Yeah, well, it's Warner Brothers.
HBO?
No, it is Warner Brothers, but it's HBO. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that those are very different.
Yeah, it's HBO Max, but it's a WB property is what I meant to say.
Holy moly, everyone.
Yeah, it is. So, WB meaning straight from the Suicide Squad, Sean Gunn's creation, which was phenomenal. If you haven't seen that, mm-hmm. I recommend that you go check that out.
The second one Montego is specifically talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
James Gunn one, yeah.
So Peacemaker had a extra scene in the Sean Gunn movie where he was, spoilers, dead, and then he was alive. And, you know, they under some kind of experiment or something. They had him in the morgue or something. He woke up. I did not realize, who cared, because his character was cool, but he wasn't the star of the whole thing, but he was still interesting character in it, especially the dynamic between him and the Idris Elba character was really, really good. So some of these people were in the movie. I know the guy that he calls Diebeard was some of the support
staff. He was in the movie, right? The blonde woman.
Support staff, right. And so Peacemaker is getting out of jail, man. So he went to jail. And he's getting out of jail in this thing. But, oh, before we do that though, I'm just rolling. Like we do always, it's time for the big one, the one. The word. One word, Tim.
Fantastic.
Mine is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's really good.
So good, man. And nothing like anything else that's on TV that, it's just so surprising to me. For them to give you something like this. And it has James Gunn written all over it. And my favorite thing in the world, on the planet Earth right now, is the damn theme song and dance routine that comes on at the beginning of the show.
Oh, my God, that dance routine.
Do you want to do it? Do you really want to make it? I love it, man.
Totally unexpected. We laughed so hard.
Oh, my God. Did the damn eagle come in at the end?
Yeah! Lord have mercy, that eagle.
And everybody's frozen.
That's the eagle. I would say is my most hard thing to swallow.
I love eagly, man. I love eagly.
Here's the thing: I don't hate it. It's just something that, if I let it get too much, you know what I mean? Like if I thought about it too much, it would bother me. Yeah. So I try not to think about it.
So in this show, they let you know that Peacemaker is still under the control of Waller. They show his little exploding head pack, and he's released, but it's conditional. He's being released to work with, Task Force X Argus, program. And he gets out and he starts meeting the team. He goes home, and they start introducing the team. Now, who's in this movie, this show, Tiff, just before? Because I'm all over the damn place.
So John Cena, obviously.
Yeah.
The main character.
Yeah.
Danielle Brooks.
Yeah.
That's the girl who Adebayo. So she's you can tell. I've only watched the first episode, but you can tell that she's gonna become much, much more important. Freddie Stroma.
Yeah.
That's Vigilante. Chukwudi Iwuji.
Yeah. The only
Jennifer
other
Holland.
Only other place I've seen him in, he was in John Wick. He was like one of the bad guys, and not even a bad guy. He was like that woman that he was had to kill. He was her bitch or something like that. He was, so yeah, he didn't.
Yeah. I haven't. There's a lot of the people in this I have not seen at all.
Uh huh.
The only people I have seen actually are Danielle Brooks and okay. John Cena, basically. Okay. Oh, actually, the guy who he calls Diebeard.
They call that man Diebeard.
Steve Aji, I don't know how you say that. John Economos is his name in the
Economos
in the Yes, in the film, in the movie show.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
But he is a comedian, and I've seen him in other stuff, including my favorite television show, You're the Worst. He plays a bit character. Oh, he's like a returning bit character on that show.
Yeah. So let me hit those spoilers, since I was already spoiling. But so he they introduced the team. You know, the what's her name? Leto? Is that her name? You know, the Danielle Who? Brooks. Danielle Brooks.
Oh, her name in the show is, Leota?
Yeah, so she has a girlfriend, and they're living in an apartment, and it's a little mysterious. They just need to take this job. You taking a job working for Argus just as needing money is amazing to me.
Oh, I need a little money.
Yeah, and he meets the leader of this team, and that's Myrn. And he's telling them pretty much what's going on, right? Your life is not yours. You work for us. You're a piece of shit. We'll put you back. We'll explode your head. You know, blah, 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 blah. But then he goes home to see his daddy. And woo-wee, what a piece of shit the daddy is, boy. Flag flying upside down, racist as hell. You know, he played by the former Terminator from T2. And it looks so different than he did back then with that jacked up hair on top of his head.
I think he looks the same. He hasn't really aged. I mean, he's aged, but also, like, he looks kind of the same.
Yeah. I mean, his weight is pretty much, you know, in check and stuff like that. And he's just a raggedy looking dude, man. But I love what he comes
Robert, in. Robert Patrick.
Yeah, he comes in and the eagle gives him a hug.
when he's like, that scene was in the trailer. And I'm really glad that a lot of scenes that were in the trailer were in the beginning, were in this first episode. I still found humor in them. Like when he was like talking about asking him to get the camera and stuff, that was still funny.
Yeah.
But I'm glad there's going to be like more surprises coming.
Yeah. I mean, it's just off the top. It's like James Gunn at his best, man. Him and his father's having dinner and a beer and the eagle is sitting at the dinner table, like chilling with him. And I just find that kind of stuff just hilarious, man, because they like play it serious and it's not like supposed to be something that we're supposed to be really paying attention to the eagle, but you just can't help to pay attention to the damn eagle sitting at the table.
I mean, everything that John Cena says in this fucking show is hilarious. He is so sad, but he's working. He's like working to pretend like he's not sad. It's like the role he was born to play. Like I would think that like, if you don't like John Cena, I would urge you to watch this. I'd give it a try just because he's so funny in it.
Oh my God, he comes in. He's like what he is. It's like an out of date 17-year-old high school bully. You know, trying to do right, and. You know, that's all I keep seeing with his character. When he comes into the diner, which was in the trailer, we had got a shot of that. But even seeing more of that, you know, he's just like clueless to the fact that he has on this ridiculous outfit and this helmet. And, you know, he's coming to go to work and they like just making fun of him like they're the cool kids. But it's quick that they're not the cool kids. To me, you realize quickly you're not the cool kids. Y'all making fun of this dude, but y'all got flaws big time, too. What are you going to say, Tiff?
Well, he is, you know, it's very similar in a lot of ways to, so he's a parody
right.
of a superhero in a lot of ways because he really truly believes that what he's doing is right.
Right.
That what he's doing is good. He's just kind of an idiot. But he's kind of like a version of Homelander that you like.
Yeah, he's totally the village idiot, that's for sure. And,
yeah,
you know, I don't even, it's just like, he's so human, you know, that it's hilarious. Like, when he's standing
around. Well, like, even when he does make mistakes, somebody will say him, like, they're like, no, actually. And he's like, I think you might be right.
Right. He's not stuck in his shit, right? But, so he meets this woman, right? And
the woman that he takes home to fuck?
Yeah, and
I lost my fucking mind.
Here's the difference between, you know, Marvel is connected to Disney, and so everything is PG-13. But you know, these DC movies, they like rated R hard, you know?
Yeah, it's the first episode of Peacemaker, you saw some boobies.
A lot of ass, and him standing around in his drawers, and actual screwing, and, you know, then the chick started acting weird after it's over. You know, she's all like, you know, all strictly business, and so quickly, you know, he starts doing his dance. He's enjoying the music, the glam hair band shit, which is just makes him even more ridiculous. And next thing you know, this killing machine, you know, this action sequence just breaks into, oh my God. And it looks so good. It's not one point in time that that woman was fighting that she was like, oh, you know, look at the girl who just, you know, trained for a day just to make it look like she was throwing this dude. No, she was good, man. I mean, the special effects and how they had this thing bouncing around the room and them fighting to the death was just like, it was really good to watch. Really fun. It was a really fun scene. I dug it. What about you?
So speaking of that, there's one thing I'd like to say.
Yes.
This is in defense of Scream.
Okay.
I have not heard you yet complain about the fact that that very tiny blonde woman who clearly is kept trim and small so that we all think she's cute and would not be strong enough to beat any of those men's asses.
Oh, wait a minute. She's clearly got superpowers. She got superpowers.
I'm not talking about the girl he took home to fuck. I'm talking about the girl from the bar.
Oh, hardcore?
His partner, yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but she's not doing... She's a trained killer. She's not no high school...
Get the fuck out of town.
She's no high school clown. Get the fuck out of town.
See the gaps we're willing to jump... The hoops we're willing to jump through for the things that we like.
There's no gap. She's a trained killer.
Yes, there's a huge loop.
And the other one was just some silly little girl running around straight... Still in high school. Clowning.
But I think that the argument wasn't that she wasn't trained. The argument was that she was small.
It was she was small. And without any training and being that small...
Oh, my Lord.
It's not going to happen.
Okay. Anyway... what I like about this show in all of James Gunn's properties is that his superheroes are, I mean, obviously fallible, but like things happen where they're like, oh, he has to use that helmet. He's never used it before. And even he's like, man, he fucks himself up doing it, right?
Right.
Heroes often like hurt themselves or find themselves in like ridiculous situations because even though they have superpowers or are like quote unquote special in some way.
Yeah.
They still fuck shit up all the time, which I think is really funny.
Yeah, that woman came outside in her skimmies, jumped 15 feet in the air and landed, you know, was about to land, I assume his crotch, and, you know, everything explodes. She explodes.
Yeah, he uses the helmet, has like a sonic pulse or something like that.
Man.
And she turns into goo. When they showed me that, like, it was really funny.
It was like, God damn, you know, so... He's out there in a crater in the middle of the parking lot with, you know, and then a bird comes out. And then he's so stupid. Like, he's sitting there with the bird in his drawers, you know, out there in a bunch of rubble instead of, like, getting the hell out of there. It's just so stupid.
And I really like it because the bird gives him food, right?
Right.
Always. The bird gives him a possum. And that's traditionally, like, people say or whatever, they animal behavior is if one of your pack is too dumb to feed itself, you bring something to them.
Right.
So this eagle has brought him a dum-dum gift.
Yeah. So he goes back to his pop's house. That's actually skipped.
That's is the end. Earlier in the episode, when he goes back to his dad's house, they do talk about like who shot him and stuff like that.
Right.
But this is the ending scene for this first episode is the fight. And the explosion.
And I couldn't be happier, and I wanted more and more. And the good news is when it first came out, they gave you 3 episodes off the back. So you could just like, you know, really, really get involved in it. I think this show is phenomenal. I think it's great. And, you know, I want more of this, man. More of this, you know, the budget.
Yeah, I mean, something we can agree on.
Yeah, good. That's wonderful, man. Really zany, really zany, but really rock solid in how it was put together. Really well thought out too. So I love this show. Give me more. So that's all I have to say about that. What about you?
Perfect. Yeah. I think people should give it a try.
Yeah. 100%. You'll enjoy yourself. We're going to take our final break and we'll be right back in Jiffy. All right, man, we're back, man. Hey, God damn it, it's Black History Month, and we have nothing for Black History so far. Goodness gracious. Happy Black History Month, Tiff.
Yes, happy Black History Month. Happy Black History Month. I just drooled on myself. I do think it's because it was January when we made these plans, so we need to do planning for next week.
Right. So typically a low time of movie go-getting there, but so we decided to do something that came out I believe the end of the year or the first of the year. It was either the last week of December or the first week of January. Don't look up. 2021, rated R, 2 hours, 18 minutes, comedy, drama, sci-fi, directed by Adam McKay. So, Tiff, who is in this movie here?
Okay, so our cast is Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Lawrence, Meryl Streep, mm-hmm. Kate Blanchett,
sure was.
Rob Morgan.
Yeah.
I mean, these people who don't care. Jonah Hill, Mark Rylance, Tyler Perry, Timothy Chalamet, Ron Perlman, and then the people that Montego forgot were in the movie, Ariana Grande and Scott Mezcady, a.k.a. Kid Cudi.
Yeah, I totally forgot they was in this damn movie. I'm like, were they? Oh, Jesus. So, man, before we roll super duper in one direction, it's time for one word. One word, Tiff, what you got?
Better.
Better?
Mm-hmm.
Explain.
Better than everyone says it is.
Oh, I agree with you, because people like, this is the worst shit ever, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, I hate to say this, but I felt like it was okay. That's my one word.
Okay. I liked it. I didn't even think it was okay. I thought it was pretty good, actually.
Yeah, okay. People hated this movie. People are hating this
movie. I know. It's a definite satire, yeah. Like, for sure. It's almost like a parody of Armageddon, which we'll be talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think that that's always a hard market.
I enjoyed watching it when I did. I mean, is it going to stick with me and be a stellar film? No, but not every film does that. But I did enjoy it. I thought it was okay. You know? So,
yeah.
Let's hit those spoilers so we can move forward. So, Tiff.
Yes.
This thing starts out how?
So, Jennifer Lawrence, which right off the bat, I want to talk about her hair, which I don't hate. Let's not get into that. Yeah, she's like the short, the blunt bangs, and she's kind of shaved right here. I have no issue with the hair. Okay.
What's wrong with
that? But she's in another movie that must have been filmed at the same time.
Same hairdo?
And she has the same haircut. And it almost makes me feel like it's, how, why? I guess I never until this very moment thought about why you, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I just saw two stills from this movie and they seemed really different. I'll have to look into it. You know, more on that later. But the haircut is, it does get talked about, but it's, you know, whatever. I didn't mind it, but.
She looked like a redhead.
That was my assumption coming into it.
She looked like a redhead Vulcan. That's what she looked like to be. Like she could be on the
Star Trek. Yeah, I can kind of see that.
Star Trek Enterprise.
So she, anyway, to the plot of the movie, she's a PhD candidate. We don't really know that yet. We just think she's maybe working as a scientist. She sees a comet in the sky. When you see a comet and it hasn't been identified before, you get to name it. So it's like a big deal that she found it, and she invites her, who ends up being her professor and all the PhD candidates, to like do calculations based on the trajectory of this comet,
right.
Which they then accidentally find out is due to impact Earth.
Right. And so I'm getting a lot of Armageddon vibes. I'm getting a lot of Deep Impact, all those movies in the 2000s. Yeah, that had Morgan Freeman in it.
Hey, everyone, remember that movie that you forgot? Deep Impact.
Right. It had Elijah Wood was in that movie. Morgan Freeman
care.
Was in that movie.
I don't care who was in it.
Right.
Even though I do love Elijah Wood.
Right. So, yeah, she's a smarty-arty, and she tracked it to trajectory. And it's kind of, at first, nobody knows that they're in danger. They're just kind of like, huh.
Well, none of the PhD candidates really realize it besides her, because he invites her to stay. It's like an extinction level event. So they call like Space Force.
Right.
Whatever. And they get connected to a person who's like in charge of the Planetary Defense Coordinator.
Yeah.
Office, coordinator's office. And so when those chain of events are triggered, it leads to a meeting with the president.
Right. And it's like, I'm enjoying the pacing of it. I like it's a different Leonardo DiCaprio that I've seen. I mean,
I thought he did a really good job in this. I mean, like, I don't ever think he does a bad job, never. Really. But like, I thought he was doing some really good work here. Potentially more than the movie does. That's why I like maybe like this movie more, a lot more, even more than like, right, and even more than thinking it's just okay. Is like the performances are really good. So a lot of times when I, so they go to the president, they don't get a meeting right away.
Or they treated them like scumbags, Tifobot. They had them sit in that damn room for like 18 hours and stuff in the same clothes off the plane, you know, and then they rescheduled it on them. We had a long meeting.
Yeah, the next day they were there for like, they'd been there for like 24 or 48 hours or some shit. And then they're like, no, you have to come back.
Right.
And then when they do, they don't, the president, the United States government doesn't take it seriously.
No, nobody takes it seriously. Nobody wants to even look at anything serious. I mean, everything in the world was more important to them than their like 5-minute briefing. I don't even think they were they allowed to sit down? When they went inside?
Yeah, they sat down. So, so here's, I think, where people probably, but before the show, I don't read anybody else's reviews or anything.
Okay.
Because
yeah, me neither.
I don't want my opinion to be influenced by other people's thoughts.
Of course not.
But sometimes you just kind of like, you know, you can hear like the whispers of like people didn't really like it, or right, it's got a low score on Rotten Tomatoes or whatever you happen to come across when you're like getting ready for the show. Okay. So what I'm about to say is that this is the part of the story where it starts to become more like a satire, because what they're showing us is stuff like how much political red tape is in front of things that are even extraordinarily important, mm-hmm, or like how much our news media relies on like the interaction of social media. So like what you're seeing circulate sometimes is like clickbait and things like that, because people just want to know. So basically what happens then is that they realize the government doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Right. But she has a fiance or a boyfriend has connections with news.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So he gets them an interview with the New York Times, but the New York Times doesn't want to support them because they can't get the article to circulate because the Ariana Grande character announced her engagement.
Right.
To Kid Cudi. Right. So like, I mean, like these are the kind of things that like when I talk about like a movie that does a good job of making a point about stuff without looking at the camera and saying the news is all generated by social media clicks.
I would agree with you.
So, but that, I also get that people might get, because the whole movie is kind of like that. Like people are too much on their cell phones, right? It's called Don't Look Up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So
like it could be like a little bit beaten over the head, right? People could feel like they're being beaten over the head.
I didn't feel like that way, especially.
I didn't either, but I don't know.
I mean, because the movie did charm and stuff, like when the general was charging him for White House snacks, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, they finally get in there, and it's like nobody's like, you know, blown off their cheeks with this news that they're telling them. They're kind of like, huh? Well, we're gonna have to handle this some kind of way, you know, and then the beat just goes on. And like you said, you know, every story in the world that means nothing is more important than even the end of the world. You know, nobody is listening, you know. And
right.
She leaks. And what's
insane is like when they're talking to the people at the New York Times, right? So they go on this talk show.
Right.
Called Rip It or some
like
shit.
Right. That Tyler Perry and the other
Tyler
lady.
Perry's the host.
Right.
And they're just like, oh, Janine. Like, right? They're like the morning coffee shows,
right,
that people
exactly.
are just like, it's fluff pieces and
right.
things that make you feel good. So they like dismiss him. And when this happens, and the New York Times or whatever the newspaper is in the movie figures out that they're not going to get any more clicks off of it, even though everyone in that room like believed in the science and knew that it was correct, they were just like, fucking whatever, we're not going to promote this anymore.
Yeah, which was nuts. And, you know, the whole thing was like, the Jennifer Lawrence character gets on there and she freaks out, kind of, you know, like, this is not a joke. You know? And they like, we don't like her. We like him, but we don't like her. He can come back, but she can't. And I'm like, God damn. Listen, y'all. Listen what's happening. The world is coming to an end. Nobody believes it. So, you know.
Right. But that's like I like those subtle nods to like fanaticism and like how even a smart person can be made to seem crazy, or how people can become easily radicalized or indoctrinated because
yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio, who knows all of this science, there's just like a heavy like intoxication with like the fame
yeah.
and finally being listened to and found attractive and interesting.
Right. Right.
Stuff like that. But I really like it I really like the Jennifer Lawrence character in this movie, because I feel like that's how I would be at the end of the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
where I'd just be like, why would I care?
Yeah. Because she gets like that pretty quickly because she's not being listened to. And then, oh boy, he starts messing around with the Fox News host, you know, like all of a sudden she finds him attractive and she starts hitting on him and stuff. And next thing you know, that's her man, you know, I mean, and they're not even hiding.
Yeah.
They're going all to all kind of state dinners and, you know, he didn't forgot all about his wife and his boys and stuff like that. And
oh, who was played by Melanie Lynskey, who I love.
Who was she? I don't know.
She's the wife. Oh, yeah. She's in a lot of stuff. But I mean, I can't think of like what you would know her from. Like there's stuff I know her from.
It's cool.
But once
he starts messing around with the lady, he totally loses himself. And they only have like, what, 18 months until the end of the world, right? Like it's coming and.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's 6 months.
6 months. And they have a, there's no real plan, right? There's no real plan to like, you know, try to, you know, do something like get the earth out of trouble or something like that. But all of a sudden, toward the middle end, it's like we're going to get serious and trying to save the earth, right? Because all of a sudden, I don't know why they start.
It was the election. She had gotten caught in a sex scandal.
That's right.
So to like turn it around, they decide to put money into the military. And I think that a lot of subtle comedy is achieved in some of these scenes where like, they cut between her son talking about what he did. He's like, I put together an extortionate budget. Right. And then she goes, she calls it like, an emergency defense fund.
Right.
It's like the way that like they take, and I think that those things are really funny and well done. But then they have that Ron Perlman character who they have to have volunteer to like shoot the asteroid out of this out of space
by himself, the American hero, right? And the old astronaut, he's gonna single-handedly go up there and save the earth by himself, you know.
Well, because it was a suicide mission, they were going to shoot themselves into the rocket and explode. Like, he knew he wasn't gonna come back, and so like they were like talking about him and he was saying all this terrible shit, even like as he's being launched into space.
Right.
And they're like, he was a different time. The guy who stole the snacks was like, it's a different time. But then I think that the part of the movie that like maybe was, cause at this point you're like an hour.
Yeah.
In ish. Mm-hmm. The rockets turn around.
Yeah.
They don't go to space.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my fucking God, what's going to happen in this movie?
Right.
I honestly thought at this point in the movie that nothing would happen.
Oh, you thought they were going to be wrong?
The asteroid wasn't. Yes. And so they would have to live. The rest of the movie was going to be them dealing with the shame of like all the things that they did, thinking that the world was going to end.
No.
I didn't know where they could go, but it was actually the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, they doubled down on everything at this point. I mean, like, because now, after that failed, that's when your girl Jennifer Lawrence just starts saying like "F it." She picks up the street thug character and stuff like that. The Timothy Chalamet.
Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah. You know, that becomes her man, right? I mean, they attach it to him.
And like, I think they're supposed to be similarly aged, but she just looks so much older than him.
Yeah, yeah, she does.
She's like, I think Jennifer Lawrence is 29 or 30, and Timothy Chalamet is or something like that, but I guess that small age difference the back then makes you look really old,
right? So another character that completely screwed up everything was the Steve Jobs ex character, the billionaire. Yes. Who had the think tanks, and he was such a weirdo that, you know, he wasn't going to listen to anybody else, and his think tank and his way was the best way, and he convinced what the president and everybody that whatever he was going to have going on was going to work. And then when it didn't, he just walks away.
Well, because there was like, what, 400 or something, $300 trillion worth of precious
metals on
minerals
them. Right.
On the, yeah. So he was like, well, we can do both. We can mine it and then explode it.
Yeah. Didn't happen.
So. Which is such an American, like, yeah. Hell yeah. Take it for what it's worth and explode it.
Right. Right.
And don't share it with anyone else.
So so that's pretty much at that point, you know, everything crumbles. Like when people start realizing that it was over, him and his girlfriend broke up with the Fox News host. I just say because she looked totally like a Fox News host. You know,
she does look like a Fox News host.
You know, that was over with. He goes home to his family and his boys, and you know, I thought it was cool that the wife didn't like sit up there and be like, oh no, you cheated on me. She's like, hey, we all about to die, you know, because the professor.
Well, she also was like, I fucked our friend in college.
Yeah. So she had a little.
And they were like, all right.
Yeah.
I think it was mostly, I really actually liked the ending of this movie.
It was unexpected because I was really expecting something else to happen. And for them to
say, them to be saved.
Yeah, I mean, what, you know, but them spending their last moments just chilling, no, at any cost, you know, because shit was like exploding all over. You could hear it in the background, and they kept the conversation going, trying to be normal up until the last minute, ignoring it. And so, you know, once that happened, I was just kind of like, well, damn, nobody lived.
<You know? laughs> But in like some ways, I enjoyed the, like, so like when nothing matters, right?
Right.
But you can still be decent,
yeah,
and you can still be loving. That's a good message. I don't know. Like, I thought that, like, I also really like an ending where they're like inevitability, or it's sad, but shit, fucking stuff's sad, man. Well, that's, so like, I don't know, had a good time.
Yeah, that's a, well, it didn't, like, I wasn't like appalled at the ending. I was just like, oh, I'm surprised they literally did that, but oh well, you know. But then when you think about the trajectory of the whole movie, then what else was they gonna do, you know? So
yeah.
I thought this movie was okay. I'm not pumping my fist at it. So you know, you be the judge, man. It was enjoyable to watch, and it definitely had some funny subtle moments, because most of the humor was subtly funny. So I recommend, if you don't got nothing else to do.
I recommend, even if you do have something else to do.
Oh shit. All right. Well, that's it, Tiff. We came to do the damn thing. We got it done. Wow. So, next week, man, we have no idea what we're doing. We're not doing Moonfall or whatever the hell that shit is.
Moonfall. See? No, we're doing something else.
Oh, my God. Please, no. Especially to the theaters, Tiff, for that.
Ooh, I know. Yeah. Okay. Fine.
So, man, I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego. Mr. Button all the way up to the top with me is my smooth, sultry, sexy co-host, Miss Tiffelby. Say goodbye.
Oh, no. No, it's been a pleasure as always.
Okay, and until next week, we will be
on
Patrol.
Patrol.
Oh, she got to turn off all this shit now.